Hey there, it's RJ Retro, the managing editor of thereservepool.com. You may have noticed that the podcasts have slowed down a little bit, and we do want to apologize for that. Life has gotten in the way, first off, and secondly, we are going through some big changes at the website that are requiring a little bit more attention to behind-the-scenes stuff than you normally would see, and as a result, we can't pump out the content as quickly as we were. I do want to thank the people who have still been working diligently, working very hard at providing that content for you, which obviously you can see if you go to thereservepool.com. And without those folks, there's no way this website would be able to continue. Now, the plan was to take a few weeks off from the podcasts so that we could start moving into what I am calling Season 2 of the Reserve Pool Network or thereservepool.com. The first reason today we're putting out this podcast is because the nefarious geneticist Shadowmeld is absolutely hooked on giving advice and helping people become better players. And secondly, Isaac BV, same exact thing. Both highly addicted to helping you out and providing you with entertainment, and so they didn't want to take any more time off. We will continue to do mini podcasts until we are ready to launch the new show, the new program, etc. And the biggest reason for doing this podcast today is that I wanted to give Dave the opportunity to say goodbye. He did on the website. He wrote a very heartfelt article, which if you haven't checked out already, I highly suggest you do so. Go to thereservepool.com and find that article. But as well, I wanted to give him an opportunity to say goodbye to you guys as well. He's still going to stick around on the website. There's no way we'd let him leave forever, but in terms of what he's going to be doing with the Reserve Pool, he's going to be taking some time away from the site. He's saying goodbye to the game, and he's going to be starting up a brand new project as well, which you're going to hear about later on in this show when he does give his official goodbye on the podcast. So again, that's the reason for doing the podcast this week. We appreciate you sticking with us, and thereservepool.com is not going anywhere. We're going to still provide you with the content that we feel is some of the best on the internet in terms of when it comes to Dice Masters, and hopefully you'll stick with us through the changes. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Without your feedback, you know, we're blind. We don't want to be blind. We want to be able to provide what you guys want. So we'll get right into it here. We'll step into Shadowmeld's laboratory, followed by the transition zone, and then you'll hear right from the founder of thereservepool.com himself. Dave, let's get right down to it.
Welcome to Shadowmeld's Laboratory, where today I add a little bit of the prep area and give you a team that I think is just absolutely evil. Today, we're going to be talking about a team I like to call the Thinking Man's Team. It uses Brainiac, Lysadrak, and Halfling Thief to fill our opponent's bag with all the sidekicks they could ever want and deny them from ever actually accessing the dice that they purchase on their turn. To start with, we have Lysadrak, common, Keeper of the Book of Parallax. She's a 2-cost mask character, villain, and yellow lantern. While Lysadrak is active, at the start of your attack step, name a character. If at least one of those character dice blocks, you may move 2 dice from your opponent's used pile to their bag. And then we also have the Halfling Thief, Lesser Lords Alliance, a 3-cost mask character, Lords Alliance affiliation. It's a good, equipable adventurer with experience. And when 1 or more Halfling Thief dice are assigned to attack, you may move up to 2 of your opponent's dice from his used area to his bag. Now you may be saying, those abilities, they're almost the same. And that's entirely the point. We are going to, ideally, be moving 4 sidekicks from our opponent's used pile to his bag every turn, and hopefully flooding his bag full of sidekicks so he can never actually get to his very powerful Serenas or Zombie Magnetos or whatever they decide to play. With these characters, we need some support, and one of the ways to stall to get both of these characters out and up and cycling and attacking every turn is to bring Wasp, Founding Avenger, a 3-cost bolt character, Avenger, obviously. And while Wasp is active, when your opponent uses a global ability, she deals them 1 damage. She also has a global. Once per turn, you may pay 2 generic to deal 1 damage to a character or player. This Wasp is a great way to stall and slow down our team. It does a lot of work countering Professor Xavier and other global heavy teams. And that's something we're going to need because Professor Xavier is a card that innately counters the entire strategy of this team. So we have two tools to stop Professor Xavier on this team. Our other tool is Prismatic Spray, lesser spell, 4-cost generic action die. It is neutral, and all of our opponent's characters lose all their card text until the end of the turn. Since we are not bringing PXG, this action die does a really good job of blanking out Professor Xavier's text during our opponent's turn, during our turn, when our opponent would be wanting to use his global. And what that does is that allows us to get the sidekick setup going and start cycling those sidekicks into our opponent's bag so that he can't target them with PXG. And once we start flooding his bag like that, he has to slowly start ramping back up, and we punish him harder and harder and harder once we have our lockdown going on. Some other tools that are part of our lockdown are, of course, Brainiac, I mentioned earlier. The Terror of Kandor, common, 5 mass, Legion of Doom, villain. And while Brainiac is active, during your opponent's clear and draw step, you may make your opponent put 1 die from their draw back into the bag and redraw before they roll. This is a really good way to look at your opponent's hand, see, oh look, they got lucky and drew 2 characters. Put the one you don't want them to have this turn back in their bag, and predictably they will be hopefully draw a sidekick instead of the character you just put back. And with us putting 4 sidekicks into their bag every turn, it's highly likely that they're going to draw, at the very least, something other than what you put back into their bag. Another support character we have is Mr. Fantastic, Brilliant Scientist, 3-cost mass character, Fantastic Four affiliation. Mr. Fantastic gets +2 attack and defense while blocking, but most importantly, he has a global, pay a mask, target character must attack this turn. By forcing our opponent's characters to attack, we can let them go unblocked, use our health as a resource, and have them go to the used pile. And what happens is if you're putting 4 dice into your opponent's bag every turn, they never get a bag reset. So anything that moves to the used pile stays there. And it's basically a different way of imprisoning dice that can't be broken by just damage or anything like that. There are plenty of ways for our opponent to interrupt our lockdown by killing our halfling or Lysidrak or what have you, but Mr. Fantastic helps us, at the very least, fill that used pile up so when he does get a bag reset, it's not the predictable, neat, clean 4 or 5 dice from a PXG ramp, and our opponent has to hope to get the right dice at the right time in the right amount. If you get a Hulk, but all you get is a Hulk and 3 sidekicks, that's possibly a very expensive to field Hulk, and it might be your entire turn. And then we can use one of our other support characters, like Storm Windrider, to hopefully reroll the Hulk or some other dice, and send those die to our opponent's use pile. And what that can do is we can actually reroll our opponent's sidekicks, get some damage in, and then attack with the Halfling Thief and put those sidekicks directly into the bag to slow our opponent even more. Again, that's Storm Windrider, 5 mask, X-Men affiliation. When fielded, reroll up to 2 opposing characters. Each die that does not roll a character goes to your opponent's used pile. Storm deals 2 damage to your opponent for each die moved. We have one other support card on our team, and that is the Goblin Attack Force Goblin Squad. Is a 4-cost fist character. This monster can't block. If you're damaged, knock this monster out. But most importantly, again, is the global, pay a fist, target monster must block this turn if legal. Alongside all of these blocker and attacker manipulation tools, we brought Distraction and Mystic Box. I've talked a lot about these basic actions before, but just to highlight, the Distraction Global allows us to attack with our Halfling and then bring it back if we need to. And the Mystic Box basic action allows us to pump our sidekicks with our attack stats or our opponent's attack stats when we decide to swing through and get in a large field of damage that can really devastate our opponent. the overall objective of this team is to slowly thin down what our opponent can field, clear his board off, and a swing through for a large, powerful swing of characters. But we can also get some chip damage in with Mystic Boxed Sidekicks, Mystic Boxed Halfling Thieves, whatever our opponent ends up letting us get through. Of course, there's also Wasp and Storm, who can also bring some direct damage to help soften our opponent up. There's no big, giant, glorified win condition, but the amount of economic damage you should be doing to your opponent should give you the ability to ramp up and get a large field of characters that just devastates your opponent with its width of size, if not the the strength of each individual person. When purchasing for this team on turn one or turn two, if there's a PXG on the board, you're going to probably hope for three masks so you can Lissa Drak, or two masks so you can Halfling Thief and then PXG, or one mask and a bolt so you can pick up Wasp, but in that order, preferably. When there's no PXG, your objective is to get as many sidekicks on the field as you can. You have a 2-cost character, a 3-cost character, and a 5-cost character, as well as a 4-cost generic energy basic action or action die you can buy. So what you're looking to do is roll, keep a question mark or a mask, and then re-roll everything that isn't a sidekick, and try to get as many sidekicks as possible. If you end up getting 3 sidekicks and a mask, that's still a really solid turn, because the next turn you've got 4 sidekicks coming out of your bag and only 1 sidekick in your use pile. And then once you have 3 or 4 sidekicks, you don't need to farm for sidekicks as much. You do need to get those purchases in as well. One thing I have a problem with when I play this team is I try to get the lockdown going too early. My recommendation is the first character face or two that you roll, you use to help you buy larger characters. If your opponent brings PXG, that's not as much of a problem, but you do still need to be able to pick up Prismatic Spray and Wasp to help lock down those globals. So you're looking to get 1 Lissa Drak, 1 Halfling Thief, 1 Wasp, 1 Brainiac, and if your opponent has PXG, you want to pick up a Prismatic Spray. And until you have all 4 or 5 of those cards, don't even worry about fielding right off the bat. Try and ramp for bigger purchases, because you do really need all of those pieces in order to stay alive in the long run. This is, again, the team I'm calling the Thinking Man's Team. If you have any questions, Dylan and I played this team against Jordan in the lab, and that should already be aired. It's up on YouTube. You should be able to go look at it. Take a look, see how the team plays. Thanks again. This has been Shadow Melt's Laboratory, and remember, keep it evil.
Welcome to the Transition Zone. This is Isaac bringing you the latest installment in what it takes to move from a casual kitchen table gamer to a more competitive player. Every good competitor needs to be tested. The best football team in the land, the best gymnast, the best mathematician, the best chess player, even the best dice master. No matter how good you think you are, you don't know until you get run through a gauntlet of tests, trials, opponents, and situations. You can make the best team with the best cards and put them together with amazing basic actions, and you can take those to your local, friendly game store and fall flat on your face. I've seen people use meta cards and just have no idea on how to pilot them. I've seen attempts at an almost all super rare team because of the assumption that the more value the card has, the better it must be. I've even seen people try to play the exact teams they find online or see played at national competitions and lose to teams that should not have beat them on paper. Why do these things happen? Because a good pilot will always beat a good team. How would you like to be a good pilot? Because I can promise you from experience that if you do not know what you are doing with your team, you will lose. No matter how good the cards are or how good the dice rolls are that you need to know how to play it. So how do you get there? How do you move from a casual player to one who is consistent, competitive, and able to pilot a team to success. You got to practice. And once you've practiced, you practice some more. And just as soon as you think you're good enough, the next step is to practice. For many of you, how and when is tough to determine. Let's say you have a team and you're ready to run it through that barrage of tests. Where can you find your gauntlets? Here are your best opportunities to test yourself, your team, and get the practice in that you need to be competitive. First and foremost, friends, family. If you have a built-in playgroup, either at home or with close friends, use it. Have them run everything they can at you and push for them to test your team. Have them play the meta, have them play combos, the best super rares, and everything else you feel weak to. They have likely played you the most and know your weaknesses and can help you learn to overcome them. At one point, I taught my son the High Hopes team because I wanted to see if I could beat it. Raise up the level of players around you and they will help do the same for you. Give them opportunities to roll perfectly or stage roles so that they get the best and see how you react to those roles. Another way to test yourself is through open play or casual nights. Many stores run casual evenings that are just a drop-in and play format. No cost to you, no structure in place, but here two things can happen. You can play casually or you can play test. I enjoy simple fun games of Dice Masters, but open play times allow us to test a team and see if it works. You may run into super competitive or even off-the-wall teams that will help you determine where your strengths and weaknesses lay. Next is Vassal, through Hangouts, or online play. Right now, one of the easiest ways to play online is either through the use of a video camera and a service like Google Hangouts or Skype, or through the Vassal program. I personally have been able to prepare for competitive competition this way against some really good players from not only here in the United States, but around the world. The players who use these formats are usually very inviting to open conversation, feedback about your play and decision-making, and even just general pleasantries. I personally started online play with Hangouts, but have found myself playing on Vassal much more these days. If you'd like more information about Vassal or online play through Hangouts, make sure to check out the forums on the Reserve Pool Network. Another simple way to test your team is to play by yourself. This is simple, but it's so easily missed. You could do this with the team in front of you, or even on Vassal, or frankly, just going through in your head what you might run into with dice rolls. Play the possible turn one, turn two buys. See what you would buy with the worst possible rolls you could get, and the best possible rolls. Eliminate the unknowns early, and when you are in a game setting, you'll react appropriately, instead of just guessing at what you should do. Enough practice and repetition will take away nervous energy, unknowns, and the guessing game that random dice rolls can bring. Know your team, know its strengths, and your areas of potential weakness or exploitation, and know how to protect yourself from it. Become the pilot you want to be through dedicated practice, because a good pilot will always win. Thanks for joining me here in the Transition Zone. We'll see you next time here on the Reserve Pool Network.
This is a tough one. I really don't like to say goodbye. Now, I look through the great farewell speeches of history, and well, frankly, I felt a bit intimidated. You see, it's hard to know what to say in these circumstances, especially after I worked quite hard to articulate my message in the post made last Monday on the website. I do have to thank everybody, by the way, for the responses to that post. If you'd like to hear me talk about board gaming, I do have some things in the works, so certainly stay tuned for that. Hopefully the folks here will be good enough to let me disseminate that information. We do have a new board games sub-forum on the Reserve Pool, and I'm certainly going to be frequenting that area. So I decided to take a bit from the off-sided farewell speech of George Washington. I don't know that I've ever been 100% comfortable being considered an authority on a game. I certainly did well at U.S. Nationals, and I love this game, and I understand this game, and I like to play this game. But I don't know. It's a tough role to be in. It's not one that I'm used to taking in something quite like this, at least in a competitive activity. At work, sure, but gaming has always been something fun. But that said, since a lot of people have looked to me over the last year and a half, I feel that it's prudent to take a moment to talk about the community and maintaining the level of sportsmanship that we have seen to this point. So, if you're an ambassador for the game, whether on the web or in your local, act it. Do not play in a way that scares people out of the stores you go to. The leaderboard on WizKids.com, it's currently meaningless. Build up your players. Build up the game. Now, I don't mean that you shouldn't play to win. I mean that you should do it graciously, in a way that motivates your less experienced players to beat you, not to stay at home. I loved how my new players started seeing me as the end boss. I was called M. Bison at one point. And when people got better and were able to win against me, I lost with grace. I was thrilled to see the local play build up. I got so excited to see the level of play elevating. I didn't care about going 3-1 instead of 4-0 a night. You can be successful and still have a thriving group of players. Let the game be the story. Now, it can be difficult to separate strategy from the rules because, of course, you need to know how the cards work to understand whether or not a strategy is viable. That said, the game is the thing that matters. There's a place for a debate about the rules, but the focus of the conversation needs to be on the game and the people that play it. Look at sites like StimHack for Netrunner. An enormous percentage of the content is event reports. Yes, they review new stuff and they talk about strategy and so forth, but they're talking about events. They're focusing on the people that play. Look at Limited Resources, an excellent Magic the Gathering podcast from which I got many ideas. The show is about leveling up your game. While rules conversations are certainly not something we shied away from, the vast majority of what we have done and will continue to do are builds, basic strategy, advanced strategy, draft tips, etc. I mean, my goodness, Shadow Meld with regularity breaks down an entire gravity feed and walks through a whole draft with it. If that's not something that sparks the strategic juices in conversation, I don't know what is. Now, we're just fans too. You can be the same kind of resource. We have the blogging section on this site, which many of you have taken advantage of, and I hope more of you take advantage of it in the future. It's important. Elevate the level of discourse. Now, this isn't just a Dice Masters problem or a gaming problem. In fact, it's a global problem. It's one that infects our politics, our religions, our cable news channels, and it is toxic. Now, I wouldn't suggest rose-colored glasses as the antidote for this. No, there is a time for criticism. But how do you levy that criticism? How do you act when others disagree? How do you act at a tournament when you can't believe that person just beat you? Do you decide to expound about it to a nearby friend or right in front of the person who you're currently busy debasing? I certainly hope not. We've seen some of this. It's unfortunate, but we have seen it. The community is only as good as we allow it to be. And, of course, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. What do you want to be a part of? Hopefully, it's something excellent instead of something hurtful. We've had so many great things to say about the community for so long. But the longer a game goes, the more danger there is of things falling apart in that way. The population of a game is going to change. People are going to come. People are going to go. That's just natural. What do you want them to walk into? What do you want them to see so that they know what things are like? And if you, what legacy do you want to leave behind if you're someone who decides to take a pause from the game? Hopefully it's a positive one. Now, the reserve pool is in excellent hands with RJ. You may have guessed, due to his suave and sultry voice, RJ is a broadcast professional. He has experience in the media, and he knows how to put things together and engage people. The polish on the podcasts that you guys and gals have noticed these last few months? Yeah, that's 100% RJ's influence. He's organized, He's a good guy. Trust him. Unless, of course, a moose knocks his power out, in which case he may be unavailable. Boy, we had a lot of fun with this. I met so many great people. I didn't know a single person involved with the reserve pool before I started it. If it wasn't for Dice Masters, I wouldn't have met these people, and I wouldn't have met Isaac, Gene, Josh, and Jason at Origins. I wouldn't even have a gigantic bag of booster gold dice. Thanks again, Jimmy. It was a great experience for my wife and I, too, playing together. I know that she enjoyed finding a CCG where she felt like she could go to tournaments and hold her own, something she hadn't felt comfortable with for Magic or Android Netrunner. I've always said how much I appreciated your listening, and I meant it. There are truly so many ways that you can spend your time, and I remain grateful for how much of it you spent with us. I really hope that you continue to do so. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
And there you have it. That's our mini podcast for this week. I do appreciate you listening up to this point, at the very least. I didn't want to end the podcast on that last note because I always like to play the little Spanish flea when I end something. So I decided I'd rather have it play over my voice than over Dave's. So I want to thank Dave, first off, for everything he did with the reserve pool, because without him and this website, there's no way I'm still playing this game. I love it, but there's nobody to play here except for that moose who keeps knocking out my power. And honestly, I'm not really thrilled with that moose right now. So without Dave, I wouldn't have met all of you. I wouldn't have met the guys that all work on this podcast. So thanks again to Dave, and we will keep this thing going. We're certainly not going to just stop. We want to make sure that the reserve pool continues to be the number one place on the internet to get your Dice Masters information and to be the number one Dice Masters community. And we can't do that without you, so hopefully you'll stick around as well. We'll have more podcasts on the way, more articles, and lots of other stuff. All you have to do is go to thereservepool.com, check it out. I'm RJ Retro. Bye for now.